You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring it to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.
Okay, well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time and the scriptures preserved for us. We pray for the nation, Lord, that your spirit would continue to work amongst the people in Washington, Lord, as they administer the affairs of the country. And we ask, Lord, that we would be also used of thee to walk through the doors that thou would open for us. And we pray for those in our fellowship who are unwell. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are moving through this whole topic really about right division. And we're digging deeper, and we're going to do so by comparing things that others say and do. And this business of preterism is an interesting thing because it does have a fairly long history in various forms. So preterism from the Latin past, that means that the prophecies concerning Christ's coming, essentially, those that happened in the Old Testament and also those in the New, find their fulfillment in 70 AD. And last time we were looking at these mysteries in the scriptures, and we're starting to move past Romans 16:25, and hopefully we'll get into 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. And we looked at this idea of the mystery that it comes from this verb mueo, which means one initiated, to initiate. And that is a striking thought. And it really makes you think about how it is that we come to understand these deep things of the scriptures, and especially in relationship to Paul's prison ministry. It is a very sobering thought. It's a very sobering thought that it's not something that we simply get instructed in. We do get instructed in it. We do listen to lessons from the Bible. We do read our Bible. And with our minds, we try to understand it. But the reality is there is this synergy that occurs between that study and that interest and that will to learn the meaning of the scriptures, and God who opens up the meaning to us. And so what we see in this idea of mu, the stem that appears, is this idea of something that's closed. And Paul in Philippians 4:12 gives us a very interesting use of this word. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to be to abound everywhere in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So he's seeing the deeper things of these practical issues of life. And again, the word is here, okay, it's he has been initiated into this. So this passage in Matthew 13:15 is very interesting. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, there it is, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. So again, this idea of eyes closed, how are they going to be opened? Well, God has to do it. Well, we've been through these. And the idea of the mysteries really goes back to pagan ideas. But in the Bible, what we have is a very, very strict definition of it, which relates to God opening things up for us, not those things which are done in secret by the pagans. We see how the word survives in various words in English. Mumble, mutter, what'd you say? Have you seen people that talk like that? And they all the time, they just sort of, you can't hear what they're saying. It's like they're sort of ashamed of what they're saying, or they're not confident in what they say, you know. And so they mumble around. It's closed. Their mouth is closed. It's not opening. Okay, and so what we want is we want an open heart, we want an open mind, and we want one which enables us to open our mouths clearly. So you can't learn the mysteries of God simply by reading words or simply to study. Although it's involved, we do study. As I say, there's a synergy that goes on here between our study and God. And you can see that even here. And the disciples came and said unto them, why speakest thou unto them in parables? So here the introduction of parables is where you get the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. He answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you. It's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom here. But to them it's not given. It's not given to them to know. God has decided this. And of course, there is, an interaction between their will and what they're doing, and also a decision from Him. So this is interesting. We've read some of these things, and notice we looked at this first mystery here about, in Romans, I should say, the one about be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And then we came to this one in Romans 16:25, and this was the real difficult one. And I did some research on this to see how people put down the Acts 28 position. And this is one of the passages. And they say, see, the mystery is here. This mystery that they say was just given to Paul the prisoner, it's here. This is it here. You see? And actually, it's not. It's most clearly not here. And so we discussed this a little bit. We looked at the structure of Romans, how right in the middle is this inner working of what God is doing, which talks about the law of sin, Adam and man. No mention of the Gentiles, Abraham or the Jew. Taking us right back to Adam, and there we find ourselves, every single human being. In Romans 3:21 it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Let's stop there. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. It's made plain. Then it says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now just think about the words. Witness. If something is witnessing to something else, then that something else must be there. But this something else was manifested. It's made plain, and then there is the witness. You see, Paul brings out this hidden stuff, which has been hid in the ages, and then we can see how the law and the prophets make witness to it. But without the manifestation, it's not clear at all. Just let me show you this again. I think this is so important to see. If you look at Habakkuk, in chapter 1, it says the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. So Habakkuk was a prophet and he saw certain things. And in this, he complains to God. I'm very interested about how prophets complain to God. It shows you the grace of God that He allows this to happen. He does allow it to happen. And some people who are very, very tight and very, very careful and legalistic in how they come to God, they cannot see that it's okay to ask questions. And if you ask a question, it's like, that's a sin to ask a question. But if you don't understand something, you have to ask a question. You need to ask questions. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. And if the prophets can do it, I don't see why we can't do it. You know? It's an important part of learning. What's going on? Why are these that things happening? He says in verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. You know, he sees all these things happening to Israel, and he's saying, well, why? You know, nothing's happening for us. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. And we, if we're going to be honest, we must say, well, yeah, at times we kind of must be asking that about what's happening to the United States. And just now, when we see some righteousness coming in, we are beginning to feel, is God now intervening? Is he now beginning to intervene into the affairs of the country? And it's a bit of a challenge to us personally, isn't it? Because is it only now when we see things perhaps beginning to change that we are changing? Wouldn't it be nice to think that really we've always been that way? We didn't need that signal from anyone else. We've already seen the righteousness of God and the truth of the scriptures rightly divided, and we haven't changed. We've always been the same. But here is an admission from me. All right? I do get influenced. If I look at my own life, I say, wow, yeah, I think I am also changing. I am also getting excited. I am perhaps now saying more than what I would have said before. And I think it's, if we're going to be honest, well, I won't speak for you, you'll have to speak for yourselves. Many people, I think, are like me. That once the snowball starts to get moving, we all want to say, no, we're not going to take that anymore. We are not going to take that anymore. We will not allow you to close us down and shut us down about what's right. We're going to speak our minds. You know, one of the things I really liked about what I heard Trump say about this riot, let's not use the word demonstration, right? It's very obvious the difference between a demonstration and a riot. This was a riot. Things were being destroyed. People were being smashed in the face. I saw a young woman smashed in the face by some guy, coward, coming up behind her and whacking her on the head because she had a Trump hat on. You know, what a coward to do that. But this is what was done. All right? Trump says, oh, well, if you guys, he's talking about the university, if you're not going to endorse free speech and keep law and order, then perhaps you don't deserve federal fund for your university. Cool, man. Cool. About time, right? And when conservatives raise their hands in universities and say, wait a minute, that's not right, and then they get kicked out of the university, that university needs to lose its funds, right? I mean, it's time. What I'm saying is you start to see this. And you notice it in the prophets as well. And it goes on, it says in verse 5, Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation. And it talks about how the Chaldeans are going to come and do a work. And this will not be good. And it says in verse 12, Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Oh, that's interesting. So here Habakkuk understands the work of these people in being used for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity? Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Yeah, that's true, God. I understand how you're using me. But how is it that you're allowing the wicked to continually get away with this? And the person that's wicked is getting away with it, and the person that is righteous is having to suffer. How come? And he goes on. And make us men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net. Oh man, isn't this a true picture of what happens? You know, I am really a believer in the idea of a conspiracy. I see it here. You know, a conspiracy of people using the hook and the net. And all of these people, as much as we can get angry at what various rioters are doing and what this group is doing, they're all being used. They're all at the end of an angle, you know? They're all just being used for some purpose, which is ultimately for Satan's purpose. And then it says in verse 16, therefore they sacrifice under their net and burn incense under their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Oh yeah, they seem to be getting something out of it. But in the end, of course, they are being used. And it says, shall they therefore empty their net and not spare, continually slay the nations? And he goes on, he's complaining about this fact. And he wants to see judgment come on them. And then he goes in chapter 2, and this is where we're coming to. I want you to see this, because I'm going to give you an interpretation of this verse, which I think is sort of, it goes with the context. It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and we will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me. See, he's waiting for an answer. And he's complained to the Lord. He's got, man, I don't think I'm going to do this. I might do it in my heart, perhaps, but, you know, to write it down like this prophet did, it's, you know, he's obviously inspired because God wants it. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. Okay, it's for an appointed time. At the moment, there's judgment coming on. At the moment, these wicked nations, especially this Chaldean group, yeah, they're getting away with it. But it says, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Right? It's not. But the just shall live by his faith. Okay, what's my interpretation here? Not putting into it what Paul said, because it's not there, right? The manifestation of the inner workings of this verse is not here. It's got to wait for a future time. So, just reading in the context here, all I can say about this is, well, just hold on. There will come a time. You're suffering now, and you're seeing the wicked getting away with it. But wait a minute. There is coming a time when the just shall live by his faith. Right? That would be my interpretation, just reading the context, just where it is. And that's it. Now, when you come over to Romans chapter 1, if you go over to Romans 1, and just see down here what it says in verse 16, Romans 1:16. Now, here comes Paul. The right time has come for him to manifest truth that the prophets, yeah, they wrote about, and that there's application for people living after, and for us, but that the inner workings of this have not been manifested until this passage. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, and also to the Greek, so we understand it's Jew first. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith. Well, there's faith back there, to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. There it is, he's quoting from Habakkuk, right? Now he's bringing up what's going on with this passage, which, you know, outwardly, if you just read the context, all you'd get from it is just to say, well, there is coming a time when the just shall live by his faith. Not now, you're suffering, but there's coming a time. Now, Paul says, no, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You see, the context is still similar to Habakkuk. It's still similar, right? Because now he's saying, yeah, the tables now will turn. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. But at the same time, in verse 17, he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. For therein is it revealed. And when you come over here to Romans 3, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So the manifestation comes, and then you can look at the law and the prophets, and you see the manifestation clearly. And you see this inner working of the prophets and the law, and how it applies now to this new truth, which has been hidden down. Let me show you something else. Down here is this word, sesagemenu. Okay, this thing here comes from a verb, sigao, up here. This is meaning to be hid, to be hidden. In Romans 16:25, now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to a revelation of a mystery. I'm jumping down now here to the Greek text. Here you can see apokalypsin. This is the same word we saw before about revelation. A revelation of a mystery. Mysterio. Here's this mystery. A mystery. Now here's the word, sesagemenu, which has been hidden in age times. Age times. That's an adjective. It modifies the times. In age. It's been hidden down in age times. But what's happened is there has been a manifestation. There's been a manifestation of this truth. Just go across in your Bible, so I haven't got this passage here. Look at Romans 16 with me. And verse 26. So, following on from this verse, okay, it's been hidden down in age times, in verse 26, but now is made manifest. There's the word, manifest. Okay, it's been made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets. Oh, hold the phone. Can you see how this lines up with Romans 3:21? It's saying the same thing. That yes, like Habakkuk, there had a context, it had a meaning, but now that passage bears witness to this manifestation, this bringing forth of hidden wisdom, right, that Paul is bringing forth in age times. If you look at this word, sigao, okay, look how it's used. And when the voice was passed, Jesus found alone, and they kept it close. Kept it close. See, kept it quiet. Quiet. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. See, kept it down. Kept it quiet. Acts 12:17. But he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace. Keep it down. Don't say anything. Acts 15:12. Then all the multitude kept silence. Kept silence. This is the root of that word, sigao. When we come back over here, sesagemenu. Okay, they kept it close. It was kept closed in age time. It held its peace in age times. See, that's the idea. It's not like it is the mystery that God kept in himself and then released only at the fall of Israel, Act 28. See, that's a different thing. This thing is hid in age times. Okay, coming over here, you can see here, Acts 15:13, and after they had held their peace, Romans 16:25, okay. Then down here, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence. Keep silence. hold his peace, keep silence.
Okay, you can see the word. That's how it's used as a concordance of that word in the Bible.
And you can see it. Now let's go across to a new one. So Romans 16, 25, 26, very important passage. It goes with Romans 3 and 21. And if you see what's going on with the passage in Habakkuk, it makes a lot of sense what's being said here. And you must not say that this is the revelation of the mystery given to Paul the prisoner. It's very different, vastly different context. Okay, now 1 Corinthians, we don't have to go far for this one. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So here, before the ages, here's the Greek for it, proton ionon, before the ages, eis unto haemon, our glory, doxon, unto our glory. Okay, well, let's see if we can get some context here. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. It says this, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. Now, this is the thing about this. This is about wisdom. This is the topic. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. Excellency of speech. No, it didn't come with that. In fact, we know from other passages there's rude in speech. Not very smooth. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is not an excuse to just say, just talk about the simple gospel all the time. We are to go on unto perfection. But these people were babies. And they needed to know the simplicity of the gospel. And it was right and proper to do that. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Very, very modest person and a person that's under God's yoke. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. That's a temptation, is it? That's a temptation. Have a look at many of the of America's great gospel preachers. Rough. Really rough. Billy Sunday. Many of these people. Really rough about how they approach people. And especially when they're in older age, man, they just cut loose. Just absolutely cut loose on people. And they would listen. Now, I'm not saying that the same would work today, but I still think it's true that a person that is just speaking plain, and especially when you can see that they're a mature person and is walking the talk, you're going to shut up and listen. You're not going to object because you know you're reproved the moment you open your mouth, right? And it says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, we know that the Spirit worked in powerful ways during the book of Acts, ways that we cannot emulate. And those people who try and fake this power will be reproved. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The wisdom and power of God. And I don't mean to say that the power of God simply and only means manifestation of spiritual gifts. I don't believe he means that, or only that. He's really talking about something that has to do with wisdom. And I'll show you why. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Oh, so the word perfect, does that mean, well, you know, certainly not like me with my hair is not quite done right, and you know, does it mean some perfect mean that every hair is in the right place, and you know, glasses fit square on, and every facet of the thing is there? It says, "How but we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." So, does that mean that no one got it then, because no one's perfect? Well, I don't believe the word perfect means that. It just means being brought to completion. And that completeness relates to the ability to take on wisdom. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Again, the princes of this world. those that have the nice flash things and being able to speak nicely and have all the man's wisdom to know how to smooth things out. No, come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
Ah! So it's the wisdom of God. And it's spoken in a mystery. Okay? So it's spoken in a mystery. But it's the wisdom of God. And it says, the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
Now we'll see a little bit more about this. I've got a little picture here. So, if you look at this picture, you've got here the katabole, this overthrow, this foundation here. Then after that, ages come. Okay, so there's ages. Now, when you look at this statement in 1 Corinthians 2, it says, verse 7, We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. Before the ages. Unto our glory. Now, if you look at some of the other passages, and I've sprinkled them across this so you can see how they're used. Look at this. In John 17:24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Before this time, before that time, there was this special love that existed within the Trinity of God. And you notice down here, you can see before the foundation of the world. See here, there it is there, the katabolos. Okay, now, if you go back to 1 Peter 1, and we'll look at it here, just so we won't be running all over the scriptures. In verse 19 it says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Here it is, before the katabolos. Cosmu, before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Manifested in these last times on account of you. There it is, for you. What am I saying? What are the scriptures saying? First of all, the scriptures are saying that there was this special love in the Trinity before the foundation of the world, and furthermore, that Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot, who was, now this foreordained means marked off before the foundation of the world. So the love was there, but at the same time, before the foundation of the world, within the Trinity, plans had been put in place that Christ, the Lamb of God, would actually be sacrificed. Before the foundation of the world. Even although this great love was there within the Trinity, within the very deity of God, the personalities of God, there was nonetheless love and a plan that the Son would be sacrificed. And that, to me, is an amazing thing. Now, why is this important? Well, if you look here in 1 Corinthians 2, 7, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Here is another one of the secret purposes of God, which God kept away from the princes of the world so that they would be hoodwinked. So that they would be hoodwinked in fulfilling a promise of God, a redemptive purpose.
I'm showing these pictures here because
when you think about how Paul came, you know, he came not with the excellency of speech or wisdom, and he came in fear and trembling, and he didn't come with the wisdom of this world. He came to give truth. I used to get angry at these people. I'll be honest with you. Man, I used to get just really angry. But you know what I see now? I just see a whole lot of lost people, man. And all they are is just being used. Absolutely used. And what's very sad, too, is you see this crowd here, you know, which is supposed to be the Women's March, which was just a disgrace in many ways. Yeah. Absolute disgrace. And so you can get angry at them, especially when they're interviewed and they say what they're doing, which is just total ignorance about what's going on in this world and how, in fact, Planned Parenthood, you know, which was originated by this eugenicist who really was out to just destroy human life, you know, and much of what she said is just out and out an attempt to wipe off the face of this earth the black people, for example. And I think it's a shame that these things are happening, but it's also a reminder to us as Christians that we have another angle to this, that these people are being used. And so what we've got to find are ways of showing them the truth and not backing down. It's not a matter of just keeping your mouth quiet. It's a matter of looking for the right time and the right angle to bring the truth of the gospel out to these people. Because primarily, it's the spiritual issue. I want to say this, all right? This is what I'm coming to, right? I'm coming to this. One of the arguments against what we see happening now concerning righteousness finally having a little bit of a say in Washington, one of the arguments that comes against this is that, oh, this is a result of all of these uneducated people that don't know what they're doing, and they've put into the office this Trump guy, and they've done it out of ignorance. Here's the problem with that. Here's the problem. People with intelligence don't necessarily have their eyes opened, or they don't see the manifestation of spiritual truth. That's the first thing. You may have a mind that is capable of uptaking stuff, knowledge, and you may have some intelligence. But that doesn't mean to say that you have common sense, and that doesn't mean to say that you are spiritually awake. Because I have seen that many of these people, professors, people in various universities, who get up and say things, they're saying the most ridiculous things that people with some common sense can see. And I would like to say that many of those people who voted for Trump, okay, they may not be a part of intelligentsia, but they have more common sense than the intelligentsia. They have more common sense. And furthermore, many of them are spiritually awake, whereas the intelligentsia are lost. Totally and utterly lost. And that is what makes the difference. We can have all the same facts before us, but if we are lost, we will not see the truth. And how's that going to change? Well, we'll do our part, right? We will preach the truth. We will show the truth, but it's only God is going to open up the truth to them. Okay, but we've got our part. There is a synergism, and we're part of that, but in the end, we must pray to God that He will open it up to them. Who knows? We may see the United States of America begin to take a big breath again. We just might see it. And from that, we may see a big movement throughout the world again. I mean, in a negative sense, you see it. You see America's influence. This is in Germany. and that's in a negative sense. But we may also see, from a more positive sense, the truth of the gospel once again ringing throughout Europe and throughout the world. We can do it, and with God's help, we can do it. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee today for the purpose of God, the revelation of the mysteries, and most of all, our Father, we thank Thee for salvation and how that You have appeared to us in our own lives and opened up the Scriptures. We thank Thee in Christ's name. We pray for this nation, that You would raise up even more leaders, and that as we have the opportunity, that we would open our mouths and bring forth the truth and the gospel of salvation to these people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.